I love you. Amen. I'm going to talk about I love you. And that's what the Spirit brought to me. I know where it's going to begin, but I don't know where it's going to end. Say that. It may end with you love me. Praise God. Let us turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9. Praise God that you're still here. Amen. In spite of everything, I know the devil has bashed a few of you and treated you bad, but you're still here, and that is a victory. It's an achievement. It's Luke 9 and 23. And he, Jesus, said to them all, if any will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know what part of the tabernacle you would be. That is the second, you will be moving from the second station through the door of the tabernacle, which is Christ, into the holy place. So if anybody is going to say, I'm a holy place Christian, I'm walking in the Lord, then you have denied yourself. Amen? Self dies real, and self dies hard. But when you think self is dead, self will be still coming back at you, even until you enter the pearly gates. So don't think that when you say you slay self, it means that self won't attack you. It only means that you are no longer a slave to self. Self is no longer your boss. You have resigned. And you have put him up as a sacrifice. Now, Jesus said, it is a daily operation. You cannot give a testament to, thank God I've killed self yesterday. You killed self yesterday. You'd be shocked to know that you had to kill him today. And every turn of the way, you have to make a decision. That is right here. You know why? Because self is not out here. Self is in here. And this is an ever-present person with you, and you must slay him at every turn. Every battle you're going to fight, you have to kill self first before you can fight effectively. Or else you'll be fighting for yourself. You'll be getting your rights. You'll be standing up on your dignity. If you have no dignity but the dignity of God, if you have no desire but the desire to please God, then self will be crushed and you'll win that victory. But the next move, I tell you something, self gets weaker though. If you bash him too often, he gets weak. And he doesn't have that power over you. And this is what God is talking about. Not that self is not present, but that self has no power over you. See? Now, let him deny himself. And this is the only gospel that has this word in it. Daily. Deny himself daily and follow after me. Jesus Christ is getting people to be like himself. His action in coming down from there, giving himself in order that you might live and that I might live, it was the most unselfish action of all and he's asking us what to do so. Now, can self kill self? Well, it can, but self will still be the victim. It's birth, because I've seen it turn. People with their own will have put themselves on the altar and slain themselves. And it turns out that that will that did it became the boss. No man, look at me people, I'm just a mark of ability. Who's talking? Self. No man. You see what I mean? And every motivation I could come to you tonight and God could use me mightily to bless you. And yet it is only between God and I. Whether I came with a selfish motive or I came according to the perfect plan of God. Totally selfless. As I told you the story many times, I'll tell you again. I'd waited for 20 years to come with a message to the United States. And one day God said to me, okay, this is the time. And I reasoned, argued with him, and he said, this is the time. So I got rid of the school, I got rid of everything, and in a few days, I was ready. God, I'm ready to go. He said, you're not ready. And I was kind of, you know, what could it be? I think I'm pure. I'm just all right, you know. God said, you have two motives in going to the United States. He said, you can only go with one. I want a one-way man. And I said, but God, isn't it reasonable for a man to want to school his children? Isn't it reasonable for a man to want to take care of his kids and his home and his death? Right. It is reasonable and it is right, but not for a man who God sent. The man who God sent must be a one-way man, a one-fact-minded person, who has given up everything and don't care what happens to anything. So he said, okay, I'll make a bargain with you. You take care of my business and I take care of yours. Hallelujah. And brethren, we waited a year for God to take care of our business and it went down, down. Now, the first thing happened, I tell you, I was building a little farm. I said, when the brethren come, we have a large house. We'll be able to accommodate 25, 50 brethren. We'll be able to have a kitchen here. We'll have a school here. We'll have chickens. We'll have pigs. We'll have goats. We'll have vegetables, everything. All set up, farm all set up. I left about 200 chickens. And when I was leaving, they were ready for market. God's message was so urgent that I wouldn't stop to pluck them. I left them for my son to pluck them. And the order was to be delivered. The hospital was taking them from him. The pigs were 3 weeks away from being ready, and all he had to do was to secure them and deliver them. And no pigs were delivered, and no chickens. They all died. Before we could pluck, a disease wiped them out. Next morning, I'm gone to stay. And beloved brethren, I want you to know that everything, I lost everything, we lost all the goats. All kinds of things happened to the people, they died one by one. He said he was going to take care of my business. Well. Are you good old feet of Vermont? You didn't look back. You didn't want to hear what happened. And you never turned back. But now we have to hear. Letter comes from the mortgage company. It's placed 8 months in arrears. And we have to sell. It will be sold on the 30th of second month. We said, Lord, well, you said you'd take care of him. If you want it sold, then let it be. And so, time passed, and we got another letter and said, well, we admit that we were doing it a little sudden, but it will be sold on the 30th of next month. And the 30th of next month passed, and we were in a convention down in Arkansas, and we just didn't have the money, and we didn't do anything. And so it ran up for a year or something like that. Finally, I said, now this is the final day to the soul. And we got the money. I mean, Gordon just opened up their pocketbook. He didn't say anything. Nobody knew whether we had needs or not. We just creeped away. We were in Illinois, and the offering was just extra. And we were able to send that year's money downstairs and pay for it. And he did it. Oh, yeah. And you know where I got my blessing? That I was taking care of his business. Amen. Because he wouldn't have taken care of mine if I didn't keep my hand on the fire. You see? But it's a thing that God's going to have to dangle you over that precipice and test you what you say you will do. Lord, I want to go the whole way. One of the worst things you could get. He's going to take you at your will. You're going to get it. And you will have to go the whole way. Or at least he's going to show you that you didn't want to go the whole way. You see? Because unless you have given up all self-desire, all self-effort. Now, I remember the first time I didn't want to do anything on self. You know what happened? I did nothing. I didn't know that it was God on me, and the two young people were talking. So I didn't know that, you know, going around in circles. After a while, you just know when God speaks, and you're not afraid anymore. And more than that, whether God speaks or not, you're not afraid of making a mistake. Must never be afraid of making an error, and never be afraid of saying I'm wrong. The man who is afraid of making an error, so I better not do anything. He, his love is not perfect towards God. Because love cannot be made perfect in fear. While there is fear, it's not perfect love. Praise God. Now, I want you, therefore, to turn your Bibles with me to this first speaker, and let us see how we develop love. Do you know that you don't get agape love just like that? No, sir. Let me explain the three different types of love for you that a person has. You wouldn't have got away from the circus tonight, so you thought you were going? All right. Man is spirit, soul, body. And there's a love of the spirit, there's a love of the soul, and there's a love of the body. like a person loving his car. Now, the spirit love in the scriptures is the highest form of love. That's the nearest love to God.
Mm-hmm.
You see, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. So anybody take me up on that. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Spirit, soul, body. Now, this here represents a degree of love higher than even our highest. Therefore, this love comes from here, from the Holy Spirit, from God, from the Son, and from the Father. Now, this love, therefore, under here is called agape in the Greek. It's agape love, and the soul love or family love, we call it philia, Philadelphia love. As another type of love, and this type of love is a world love, a love like the Venus, the goddess of love, that type of love. And this one is called, let's call it Eros. That's another Greek word, which represents the god with the bow and arrow, you know. Remember that? We used to draw that. Somebody's heart being pierced or something like that. Okay. Now, these three different types of love, you'll find that a babe will love you and stick to you and cry for you because you feel it and take care of it. If you treat that child badly, when you come near him, he pulls away from you, doesn't want to. You lift him up, he cries. He wants to go to somebody because of how that other person treats him. So therefore, the Eros love is something basic in the human nature, in our fallen nature. In our fallen nature, we have a love for the things that are good to us. See? Now, this love here is a soul love. And this soul love is more like the love that we have for our family and our good friends. And these two loves, you can love and hate at the same time. You love one person, you hate the other one. And you hate him with the same passion that you love. You go and die for this person because he's your friend. With great passion, and you kill that other one because he's your enemy. Sometimes it's difficult for people, you know, to think that you would kill. But deep down in the heart of every soul here, outside of God's grace, there is the potentiality to kill or to destroy. You have your child, and somebody comes and is going to kill that child, or going to stab him through or shoot him. Now you have a gun, you probably shoot yourself to kill your child. And so this is what we're talking about, the ability to destroy or to hate with the same capacity as to love, if not true love. It is either failure or this Eros love, which is based down in the physical realm, where you love the natural things. And you cling to them because you love them. You should have another word besides love to use for that. But it's a misuse of the word love. For this love, agape love, is a spirit love. Something higher than the natural human ability to reach to. But in your natural, you cannot reach to agape. In other words, agape is not natural with you. Agape is something that comes from God and hits you and makes you like God. Amen? Now we find, therefore, that we cannot just pick up agape love like this. We can't just come and say, because I'm saved, because I'm a Christian, I have agape. No. This is why the scripture instructs you how to gain agape love. I have been telling a story how I became a Christian, accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And in the most intense way I knew the Lord, I met Jesus. I spoke to him. I used to speak to him every evening. Jesus taught me my Bible. A very, very, very outstanding experience. And when I look back at it, I wondered now how he was able to stand my presence. You know what? I was hard and austere and feel that if a man transgressed, he should be judged. Man, I would rule a church with an iron hand. A man commits sin, I wipe him out. You know what I mean. There's little mercy, little understanding. I didn't understand the God of love, but I understand justice. And imagine, God so loved, his love is of such, that while you are there chopping off other people's hair, he was there preserving yours. Why? Because he could see above your head and he knew that you'd come to your senses down the road. So he had to preserve your head to get down the road. But you, the heads were roaring as far as you were concerned. You were just austere and hard. You know, and many of us as Christians are like that, and we do it in the name of justice. Take for instance, this is a little bit off the point, but I'm sure you'll bear with me. Take for instance, the thing we call corporal punishment. No, I'm sorry, not corporal punishment. Capital punishment. Now, capital punishment is true. But God said in the Bible that Moses should destroy so and so and so. It's true that God sent the Israelites to destroy some whole nation. The war and the quarrel down in the Middle East there is because God sent the Israelites to dispossess the sons of Ishmael, Esau. You see? From that land because they had polluted the land. Now if God didn't choose that, what do you think would happen now? Their breeding program would have bred such destruction in the earth that the world couldn't last until this point. Right? So God had to push back the hour by destroying a certain amount, a number of these people who were against God, sinners, and gave the Christians a chance to live. You see what I'm talking about? So God had to do that at that time. When Jesus came, Jesus taught us something else. He taught us that there is more to a human soul that you can save a man, that instead of destroying a man's life, there could be a program of deliverance, that no matter how bad a man is, God can deliver him, and that the program of God is to deliver rather than to destroy. But of course, we have no such program. You see? And this is what I'm talking about, that this love, agape love, it saves both the enemies and the friends. In Matthew chapter 5, God says, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of who? Your Father which is in heaven. Pray for those who have the knife in your neck. Now, how are you, a natural, ordinary human being, going to do that, and man is here ready to destroy you, and you're praying for him? You know what? You can do it if you can see the man. If you can see it, watch this standing before you. Here comes a big old fellow, and he says, I'm going to kill all of you in here. And he takes up a machine gun. And you have a gun here, and you could probably try at least to save the rest of the people here. And instead of using your gun, you're praying for him, you're sorry for him. You know why you would be sorry for him? If you saw his condition. If you saw him. If you saw him, you would be able to pray for him. Unless you can see the man, you won't be able to pray for him. What am I talking about? The man, let's say suddenly your eyes were opened in the spirit and you could see in the spirit world, you know what you'd see? You'd see a big devil holding the man and forcing him to do what he is doing. And you'd see the poor man begging for mercy. And the devil using his mouth and his arms to do this. No human being can do the things that are being done. The attack there in Washington 3 days ago from these Muslims. It wasn't men doing it, it was demons. The devils had the upper hand of the man. So you can see the devil that's driving the man. And pray for the man, you'll be able to stop the devil. See what I'm saying? But the reason is because we cannot see. We are blaming the wrong person. The Bible says the devil is an accuser of who? The brethren. You have any bad brethren around you? Come on now, tell them the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let me tell you something. You don't really have a bad child of God. What you have is some fearless children of God who let the devil use them. For the devil was prepared to use a Christian to turn sinners. If the devil had a choice of getting 10 sinners out there to use, and one Christian, he'd choose one Christian. Because dear is dear, you will get your crucifixion. He said, take up your cross then daily. And if you can see that the devil is using this Christian, and you can pray for the Christian and rebuke the devil, you will really begin to love people and forgive them for the things that they are doing. For no Christian can hurt you. Did you know that? He said, he that is born of God cannot commit sin. For the seed of God is in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's kind of funny, eh? And you know some people, you know what some of us do to balance off that scripture? Anybody that does it wrong will say, you're not born of God. You know what you would do? You know what would happen to us next? It would be like the brother with the tin Bible. Do you hear about that? brother had a Bible, seen little Bible, and this brother every day he sees him, his Bible gets smaller. He said, brother, what's happening to your Bible? It's getting thinner and thinner every day. He said, well, brother, whenever I go to church and they preach that certain parts of the Bible shouldn't be in it, I tear it off. We wouldn't have any Christians left. We'd give them all to the devil. The truth about it is that as you progress in God, the devil uses you less. And he deceives you and cheats you less. So sometimes to use you, he has to cheat you. Make you believe that you do right and then you. But don't be afraid or ashamed of admitting that you're wrong, because the moment you do that, you drive the devil away. So, we see then, let's go back to this point of agape. You see that agape love is that love which comes from God. The filial love is a friend love, a family love. Jesus said, if you do good only to them that do love you. What is the great side of the deal? What difference are you from the sinners? For the sinners love their own. And so you see then that God is trying to lift to a higher dimension than the ordinary level of all humanity. Therefore, it is the ugly things that we must love. Of course, I'm using the word ugly a little differently. In other words, the people that hurt us most, those are the people who we should love. And I tell you why. The Christians in this group here, let's say this group of people sitting down right here, there are some here that will do each other wrong things, say wrong things, hurt one another. And if you check with these people, they don't intend to hurt you more than the man in the moon. They are just something wrong inside, and it just comes out on you. This is what you want to see in your group. This is how you can help people. If someone has a fault, let him manifest that fault right here. Hallelujah. And as he manifests the fault in your midst, here is where you deal with the fault. How do you deal with the fault? Roll up your sleeve. Come, Brad, I'm going to bash you. You deal with a brother's fault by praying for him. Praying for him and allowing him to hit you. Now that sounds bad. But listen, if you don't let Christians walk over you, kick you, bite you, how will you be doing a cross? Where is that cross you talk about? In other words, you are doing it for Jesus' sake. If it wasn't Jesus, he wouldn't let him do that to you. The reason you are doing it for Jesus' sake is that there is some Jesus in him. There is some Jesus in her. If you slap him, you may feel that Christ in him, the evil in him might rise up and slay the good in him. Therefore, you have to deal with him. Let him kick me. Okay, brother. You know, kick me, bite me, do me anything, backbite me, or do anything to me. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. I want to see the Christ come forth in you. And when you see Christ come forth in that man, it's your greatest day. You did it. You won. Don't you understand why you must suffer? Why you must not retaliate when you are bruised or hit or torn? why it is that God gives you this marvelous opportunity of having a beautiful set of people who will bite you, bruise you, kick you, and tear you. You didn't hear that one.
It's an opportunity.
It's an opportunity that the angels don't have. It's an opportunity that the brothers and sisters who are past and are gone to be with Jesus don't have. They cannot maximize upon their gain because they are cut off. No more fight, no more war, no more victory. But you have that privilege. And when you look back, you're going to say, oh God, I wish I could go back there and do better. You know, and gain that crown that was standing right before me here, a crown of this, and I missed it, I must it all by retaliating. Because for every time you do this, God pays you for it. You're not working without reward. You are being paid. And you'll find that your own nature will blossom. Let me tell you something, man. I sat on a horse one day, and a man came and challenged me to fight me. And I knew I could jump off that horse and tear it to pieces. And my nose grew hot. And I stood back on that horse and shaked it out. And he cursed me. If you think you're bad, just sit down off that horse. And I sat there with me. And then it was all over. I found that I had conquered the devil that was in me. Because there was a devil still in me that would have hurt him if I had come down off the horse. I couldn't even trust myself to come down off that horse. You see what I mean? And so I'm saying to you, brothers, that when you think it's the other person that is so bad, you better believe that if you didn't have a little of that badness in you, that other person could not affect you. Do you think you could curse a publican, a Pharisee, or a sinner could curse Jesus Christ and get him mad? Listen, if you can get mad, it means that there is something in you that needs to come out. And listen, I'm not going to offer you any shortcuts. There are some charismatics that will tell you, you just come here, sister, let me lay hands on you and kick the devil out of you. This is what people like. It's a shortcut and it's not going to work. The only way that devil will leave you and you gain the victory is when you kick him out. And the blessing in kicking him out is that you, it is going to be the Christ in you that's going to kick him out. And as he kicks him out, he fills with faith. And now, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Little bad habits here and there, big bad habits here and there. Put it to Jesus. You know, Jesus, I don't like that thing. I've been doing it, but I don't like it. I hate it. And I want to stop. Hallelujah. You say, you really want to stop? Okay, yes, God. I give it up to you. Deal with it. And he's going to deal with it in his way. That's true. He's going to deal with it in his way. And when he's finished dealing with it, it won't come back. It's finished. And if it comes back, it's weak. You can just pick him up. Brethren, I took you to 1 Peter because I want to show you the steps of going up. Sorry, I mean 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Now what I've done, is giving you these great and precious promises. Verse 4. Give you these great and precious promises, that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You see what we're talking about? We're talking about how we might gain this divine nature. Many times we preach to you and tell you, oh, get the agape love, this, that, the other. How are you going to do it? And it's the whole of it that Christians need to know in this hour. Now, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Amplified. Yours is American Standard. Read out aloud to me. Anybody has another translation?
In order that by them we might become partakers of the divine nature and we escape the corruption that is in the world by love. Now for this reason also, applying with all diligence, in your faith, supply your excellence, and in your more excellent knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, Christian love.
All right, look. You notice that the thing keeps going up until you hit a garter. You see, you cannot just say, brother, get a garter love. You're going to get a garter love by loving the cat and the dog, by loving your wife and your kids, and love them with true love, and then you start loving God. You know what God said about it? He said, if you don't love the people you see, how can you say you love me? You just finished bashing somebody over the head and you said, Jesus, I love you. Jesus don't believe you, you see. You're going to have to love what you can see. Love the people and the things that you can see. And you know, you might think it was a joke when I said, love your cat and dog. And you know, some of us get mad at a cat and kick him outside, or a dog and something like that. But God said about, he said the righteous man cares for the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. You see a man beating up an animal, keep far from him. He'll do you the same. If you see a man treating human beings badly, he doesn't love God. And yet, don't judge him too harshly, for you might find out that you don't love God either. Because to love God, we're going to have to love what we see. Try to love them, and these are the things that are tempting us, hitting at us, hurting us. Sometimes wife hurts husband, sometimes husband hurts wife. You should try to understand why did she do it, you know. And then you find out that the poor person was under pressure. Some devil was pressurizing her, and that's why she shot out at you like that. She didn't mean it. She really didn't mean it. But it happened time and time again. And then when you can forgive that wife, when you can forgive that child, when you can forgive those who hurt you, who are near to you, then you look at the brother out there and you are able to forgive him. You sigh for him. And you know that he is being forced by devil, under pressure. He does certain things that normally he would not have done. And isn't this the story of your life? Yes. You see, God is training us not to be motivated by any external factor. And even internal factors like hunger, want, desire, should never be motivated by these things, but have one motivation: to glorify Jesus. Follow me? Now, if we take this as a daily, that's a way that the front of the floor, you're between your eyes. In other words, you have it on your forehead or in your mind. This is the focal point of our life endeavor, to please God. And when you please God, you're satisfied inside. See what I'm saying? You see, you do something and you feel dissatisfied. It means that Christ in you is not happy. Go pray about it. Say, God, you're just sorry, you don't feel happy, you feel that something is wrong, you don't know exactly where you missed, but you must have messed up something. God will comfort, send the comforter, comfort you, and sooner or later, he'll show you your error, and he'll bring you around the mountain, round and round and round, back to the same point. Do you realize how often you have come to one special point in your life? And you just, the whole life is just like a yo-yo. Back and forth, back and forth. Why? Because God is determined. That, as a matter of fact, it's a principle of God that you can't reach down there unless you pass here. And if you can't pass here, down there is only in your mind. So, praise God. I'm just thinking of something that happened to me recently. You know, somebody was just preaching to me, telling me things of the Lord and how high they were in the Spirit and so on and so on and so on. And I told him what I think God was saying in a certain doctrine. He got mad, picked up his coat, pulled his wife outside and walked. Hallelujah. Pretty high in the Spirit, but low in the flesh. I believe that God is working in us, and I'm going to ask you to begin to work with God. Work on this Eros love. I'll give you a little joke about this Eros love. I'm moving on with God for many, many years, and I think I'm getting on, you know. And then I find out that I'm still upset when my boys take my tools, my precious tools, leave them outside. I keep tools for 50 years if I didn't have these boys. Take my tools, put them outside. I'm mad at it. And so I lock up my tools and I keep an iron hand over my things, you know. I couldn't leave my business to my son because, oh, shit. He's going to just mess the whole thing up. He's going to do all kinds of foolishness in us. Amen. And God had my nose on the grindstone. And finally I had to give up. But, oh God, if he should smash the whole house, if he does anything to this. You know, when I left, I came back, I saw some, you know, improvement. I saw some improvement. I missed a few tools, but I saw some improvement. I learned to bring on tools, you know. And sometimes the Lord begins to help me. You know, tell me. I was going home last time I left here. The Lord said, get a saw, take home with you. I wouldn't do it. Get a saw. You know, when I went home, somebody stole the saw. A good thing I carried that saw out. Or else I would be just upset, not able to do any work. And so, this is these little things. You love things. Sometimes you love things more than you love people. No. You try to preaching and praising God, and all of a sudden you bomb outside, you rush out to hear your car get hit there. Somebody hits your new car. I mean, you're out of the spirit for days. Nothing. So, let us not just point finger out there and say, ah, oh, that's an erratic man going on out there. We love things. We love people in the wrong way. Oh, yeah. And that wrong love can make a lot of trouble. Many a young man see a girl and he just love her to the very earth she walks upon. And he does everything to get her, to marry her, but soon he finds out that he's just quarreling with her and they're having problems. You know why? He started off on the wrong foot. And sometimes it takes years for a man to really realize and get back on the right foot and realize how precious a woman he has. Because he really was loving her for the wrong thing. And it's down here. It's the Venus type of love, moonlight love. So, you're capable of it. Oh yeah, we are all capable of these types of behavior. And this is another pattern of the behavior. Oh Lord, you know, when it comes to a mother and her kids, you don't fool around. You mothers, sisters, you're going to have to stand on that and put them in the hand of God and leave them to you. No matter how you see the grindstone coming around near to them, don't grab them out of God's hand. Because it is possible for a mother to be above the natural love and love your children with a spiritual love. Then from your children, you begin to see there are poor ones out here. And you realize how much they're all God's children. You know. It's a marvelous thing if you can take that mother's love, which is one of the strongest things you have here, and put it out here on agape. You find that you become like me. Yes, you become like Magdalene. Those women ascended into love. They didn't know it all the while. When Mary Magdalene came washing Jesus' feet, she didn't have all that. She didn't have all that fullness that she had when she met him down in the garden after the resurrection. But it's something that develops. You grow in love. Don't let anybody deceive you. And the first point of growth is to know that you are not there. Or anybody who is there can't go any further. You got it. You got it made. You understand what I'm saying? So, brethren, maybe we could have a little discussion on this, you know, free for all. But it's just the beautiful thought. Let's look at God's pattern of love. You see, if you just look at God's pattern away up there, you are going to feel ashamed of yourself and, you know, feel bad. But God is happy over you. God just wants to know that you're going on. That's all he wants to know. And that's all you should care about. No matter where on the ladder you are, while you're moving upward, that's okay. No matter how slow. But if you can add to your brotherly love, agape love, if you can add to this, that, and add to your virtues, and add, you will get there sometime.
Amen.
I want you, before I close this section here, just turn with me to 1 Corinthians and let us look at 13 here. But as I told you that I had all these marvelous gifts of the Spirit, I had the gift of miracles. The people were being healed. Oh my, they were being healed. Everybody came back healed. Mad people were brought chained into the room and just pull off those chains and set them free. And I didn't have agape. Amen. And God still kept on giving me what a love he must have. I was tearing up his people many times. I was just handling them roughly and tearing them up, and he was still pouring down agape on me. Not for any good that I had done. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not agape, I am become as a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal, only a noise. It's only an empty noise if I don't operate in tongues in love. Hold on now. Why do you speak in tongues in here? Some people speak in tongues because they want to know that they are filled with the Spirit. That's not why you should speak in tongues. Some people speak in tongues because when they speak in tongues, it makes them feel free. That's not why you should speak in tongues. You should speak in tongues because the Spirit that you see, the water, then somebody gets blessed. See what I'm saying? It is possible, therefore, to speak in tongues and not speak in love, not speak in God love. It must be the utterance of God. Hear me? If you're desiring, oh God, I want somebody to be blessed tonight. I want somebody to be lifted up tonight. And boom, through you comes tongues. You know that God is doing what you ask. It's agape tongue. Good. Here we are. We know that it's necessary for you people here to prophesy. You know prophecy includes dreams and visions. And as I told you, in a classic case, I saw a person speaking a vision one night that the three people who are sitting in this bench, God showed me in a vision that it's three devils. Hallelujah. How could that glorify Jesus? Now, if I had a vision like that, would that? Yes, sir. For unless I could help those three human beings, there's no reason why I would have a vision from God. But you see, God allows the devil to give us a vision sometimes. Don't forget that. Because you have to discern between who is speaking. Is it devil or is it God? And unless it is love, it's not going to do any good. It's not of God. So, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Lord, help us. How many of these faith healers I've seen work without love? Oh, yes. See one grab a gun and drive some boys outside who were disturbing them. Oh, yes. And come right back in and get some healing. Because the gift and calling of God, he will not repent of it. after he is once given you, he's not going to take it back. See, so here we are, that if I begin to do great miracles, and you are going to come to hear me, you are going to exalt as a mighty man of God, because you saw the dead raised. Hallelujah, you got something else coming. I didn't raise that dead, it must have been Jesus. And Jesus only used me because I am an instrument. He made me that way. He used me to raise that dead. Don't you feel like, poor me, I can't raise the dead? None of us can. None of us can bring forth a healing. It's going to have to be Jesus. And if you, he's that bad, and you begin to say, I'm great, you're so carnal, that is not funny. Are you with me?
Yes.
It's because you're not understanding what's happening, why you think I am great because I raised the dead. And I know you don't understand why. You know? Here comes God's powerhouse, you know. Nothing. Hallelujah. Bible says nothing. Nothing. Outside of love, if I'm going to come and put on an exhibition to show how much God's power I have, and use the gifts of God, God sits down one side and he laughs. Because I'm going to fade away. And then the work is going to be permanent. And somebody will be blessed. And when I'm passing gone, somebody is going to remember that God healed my mother, or my uncle, or my brother, or my sister. You see what I'm talking about? So we are dealing with substance, which is God. And when you're dealing with substance that is perfect, and you are not perfect, you must remember that you show forth perfection. We come right back where we started. I can not sin, not make any mistake, only because I remain in the Spirit. I slip out of the Spirit, and I'm worse than the worst one outside the Spirit. You see, the idea is to keep in the Spirit, and to know how to keep in the Spirit. For when we get out of the Spirit, we're no good anyhow. See? So here we are, all this, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. What does that mean? It means, sister and brother, that three quarters of the gift that you are giving to ministries, to whatnot, program, is not going to profit you 1 cent. God's not paying you for it in heaven. Somebody take one copper penny and give it to God's work, and he gets a big old golden crown for it. Because he did it in the true spirit of God. I wish, I pray, we really get into the understanding of this. And I feel that you are understanding. I feel that you're walking together in this understanding. You see, that it is not what you do, but it is the Spirit in which you do it. God says so, it's great. If God don't say so and you do, you just don't understand God. Well, it's no need. You have no need to do it. It's not going to give you any pay. You won't get anything from it. Amen. Love suffers long. My. Here comes now the time for bashing. Somebody hit you, you want to hit him back. No
you love him and he hits you, God have mercy on him. I know it's the devil in him that caused him to hit me. It must be something wrong in him why he wants to hurt me. Jesus Christ, have mercy upon him. And then I feel my breath start coming short when he hits me. I said, oh God, I got that thing too. Yes, sir. Don't judge him. If he's mad and he hurts you and you feel to hurt him back, that thing's working on you also. For that is the reason why the devil used him to hit you, to cause you to rise up in animosity so that the devil can get both you and him together. Cook you in the same pot, have you? Charity, love, agape, does not envy. Love vaunteth not itself. You know what that means? Love does not want to be better than the other person. I am the head elder here. Love does not want to be better than you. Love wants you to be better. Love will wash your feet, do anything to you to make you come up. And when you come up, he rejoices in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at what love has given you. Look at what God has given you. I boast in you. I rejoice in you because this is true love. This is what God says. You see, rejoice it. Where is it now? Wanted myself is not puffed up. I am better than you. God has made me king over all Hudson. Oh, yes. I've heard that too. God made me king over here. And God put me here as ruler. And I'm supposed to rule over all of you. And those of you who don't want to obey me, you're just out of God. Amen. Well, I wasn't thinking about here. My mind was somewhere else. But you forgive me if it applies. You see, I get in trouble like that all the while. I'm not really probably thinking that I'm talking about anybody here. And it may apply to somebody. But praise God if it does. If you get hit, then praise the Lord. It must be Jesus. Because I don't want to be doing this of self. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Now look, brethren, you can see all the evil in the world, but you have no right to think it. Come on now. You see me artfully planning to get you into a corner, and I refuse to think evil of you. And you refuse to think evil of me. You said, no, I won't think that this brother is evil. I won't think he's planning evil. I pray for him because I know the enemy probably is hurting him. The enemy probably is causing him to do this. Don't you understand? You can realize that you cannot think evil of your brother and not think evil of Jesus. I want to get that point and then we close, right? If you think evil of me, you are thinking evil of Jesus. What must you think of me if you see me doing you evil? You must think that it is the devil that's causing me to do this. And that you want to rid me of that devil by even laying down your life. Some of us think that we have to resist the brother, fight him, take up arms, against a sister. Fight her.
No. Love him. Love her. Pray for him. And the God of heaven will set him anew free.
Now let me tell you something. Like spirit fight. Did you get that one? If I have a devil of come name one, hatred, and I come and, of course, if I have a devil of hatred, and I'm going to pick out somebody here to slap, to fight, I'm going to pick out one that has a devil of hatred, because my devil is going to lead me to you. And when I barge into you and you retaliate, the devil gets satisfied. When, if I have a devil of there's one coming here to me, but I can't find the right name for it. It's in James, the tongue one, the one that chats a lot. Gossip. Now they are gossiping spirits. And they are the most powerful among the people of God. Because if the gossiping spirit wants the people of God to talk about one another. You know why? Jesus help us. You'd be shocked to know what happens when you talk about your brother. You send devils to him. Do you know that devils can't touch any of you, can't hurt you, can't do you anything, can't do you anything except tempt you, of course, unless they get authority from somebody to do it. Listen, brother, if devils could go around and bash everybody they want, then you wouldn't survive. They can't hurt you, they can't touch you. But if one brother or sister send them to you, they take their authority and they do you in. I can't dwell on it tonight, but we'll go into it later on sometime. Or in a question time, you can quiz me. There was a case of this sister going down the street. Boys begin to buzz her. You know, those boys ride a bicycle, and four boys just seal her off the street. She couldn't pass. And they were just going down and laughing at her and teasing her. And she got so mad. And she said, I hope a car will kill you. Well, she got away and she went to the store. And when she was coming back, the ambulance was taking up the boy. A motorist got mad and ran him over. She did it. She gave the authority to the devil who wanted to do it, but had no authority to do it. Now, if you can understand what I'm saying, is that thinking evil of brethren especially, we shouldn't think any evil, but thinking evil of brethren especially is giving devils power and authority over our brethren. If a brother is wrong, if a sister is wrong, you start thinking good of him. You start saying, Jesus, you died for him, you made him good, deliver him for his glory. It cannot be that you continue talking and thinking evil, for the more you do it, the more you slay him. You are pushing a knife into your brother, and consequently you are killing Christ on the cross again. This is what Jesus means. Why? Let me go over it. If this brother has a little bit of Jesus in him and three-quarter of himself and the devil, the three-quarter will be battling against the quarter. If you condemn him, you give the upper hand to the three-quarter to kill him. If you encourage this quarter, it rise up in power and slay that three-quarter devil. This is a basic principle that we as Christians need to understand. You hear some evil about somebody, begin to pray for him. Jesus, so they won't tell you any more evil, because every time they tell you evil about a person, you lift him up. You frustrate the devil. The devil wants to say, yes, you got it coming to you. He was pretty bad because he did so and so and so. I knew this would happen to him. You actually rejoice. Some Christians actually rejoice when other Christians fall. Isn't that a fact? Oh yes, he had it coming to him. He was there preaching all those false doctrines. Now, you see what happened to him? Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us. I'll give you one more thought. It comes to me. It's coming, you know, I've got to give you. That I have fallen in this trap so often. A brother comes in and he makes a joke. You know that every time the brother comes to you, you remember the joke he makes and you laugh. You know why people come to you in the spirit? They are in need. They want your strength. They want you to send life to them. Glory to God. They want you to send life to them. Jesus bless him. You know when you say, Jesus bless him, what happens? An angel of God gets the authority to go and bless the man, whether he's worthy of it or not. Sometimes you are not worthy of it. You have pent out all your worthiness. And you are left there, and the devils have power over you because you have forfeited your position. But Jesus, have mercy on him. And from a heart, a pure heart of love, that angel gets the authority to set him free. For you gave him the authority. Do you remember this scripture which says, for the ministering spirits are what? Angels are servants to the heirs of who? They are working for you because there are some things you can't do. Come on now. We are partners with Jesus. But can we bless somebody? Can we lift him up out of darkness when the devil holds him down? Then how come we are servant for us? We are working with Jesus, and there are some things we can do that Jesus would do. We can call a meeting here. Yes, and we can preach to a brother. Jesus won't come here, stand up here and preach to you, because there's ordained men to do that. That's our duty. Mothers must teach their children the Lord. Jesus not going to come into your house and teach your children law. Oh, Jesus will do it. So leave them, let them go to the ball game. Let them rush out in the morning without praying. Let them eat their food without blessing it. Oh, Jesus will take care. No, that's your duty. And when it comes to Jesus' duty, you don't do it. Don't try to do it. You ask God to send life over there. Hallelujah. And it comes right back to you and you feel glad. The brother is delivered. He's free. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to get the maximum amount of teaching, blessings that God has given, I'd like to impart to you in this time here. So I'm asking you, pray about it, let's go to it any time you feel the Lord leading you. You get together, set the time, I'll be there. God bless you. Now, maybe we could have a little discussion at a point. Okay, Janet, I see you're just ready to go. Yeah.
I believe you've heard that
word within me.
It's stronger than anything else. And I don't believe those things didn't come into
you
unless I let them.
No, it's not really come into you. It's come against you. They will come against you, but whether you will overcome them or not. They will come against you, but it's whether you will overcome them or not.
But it's, I mean, I have the power to overcome them.
Oh, you sure have. But if you don't have, you're in trouble.
Right.
And when you don't have, you're in trouble.
Yeah, okay.
See, sometimes you are weaker than other times. Sometimes you become vulnerable. Maybe through the battle or through the pressure or whatever. But they are always seeking to pressurize you. We don't help one another when we do these things. Was that the only question then?
I'd like to ask, if you're praying that, are you praying the person in the Bible
if you
don't want to
call? If you what?
Is that called
putting them in bonds? I am not familiar with that term, you know, say putting them into bondage. But what you do is that you are working with devils instead of working with God.
But if you pray for
a person
out of love,
yes. No, when you pray out of love, it is the Spirit of God that goes to the person. But if you pray with anything else, you see, you send the wrong spirit to them. You know the worst thing that could happen to you, and I believe some people in here have that experience. You are in a church, and you leave that church, and the people begin to pray for you. You see, they are praying for you with the wrong intent. And that bombardment is so great that if you don't mind sharp and drive, you crazy. See? God's going to have to stand with you. This is something that is happens every day. I've seen it happen to a brother, and, you know, it was pretty bad for him. God bless you, Reverend.
Thank you.